Are we live?
Oh, okay.
Okay.
I didn't want to be the first person to say something this time.
I was like, audio check, mic check. Yeah.
Guys, we
gentlemen,
I have an update. But before we get into anything, I don't know who the giveaway sponsor is. Doesn't matter. Somebody's going to win.
It's come to this.
Somebody's going to win. We'll get a sponsor for the giveaway. I just haven't done it yet. And that's still something I haven't really passed off to Nicole yet. I probably should. So Nicole sent out, I want to cover this right in the very beginning of the podcast because I think it's important. And I want to give everybody an opportunity to actually hear it. Cause you know, when they get tired of listening to my voice specifically and they get out of the podcast, this won't happen because I'm talking about it right away. My wife, Nicole, sent out a questionnaire to all patrons. And we have had, which I'm going to send you guys this information, 78 people respond.
Nice. That's good.
Awesome.
And there it is. But we have like 140 patrons. So we would like more people to fill it out. Now, I just want to make something very clear. Like, we're not doing anything with this information other than all of us having the ability to see like what your Instagram handle is, what if you have a YouTube channel, because we all want to follow each other, right? Mm-hmm. And then also we're trying to get a better idea of where everybody is located for you know, of the possibility of a future Green Suitors Con for patrons. So that's another reason why we're doing it. And the third reason is we're trying to gather a little bit more data to find out where people are listening to the podcast. But more importantly, one of the things that it asks is an address. Now, we have new stickers right here. These awesome, wonderful stickers. And we want to send them out to all patrons. So all patrons have our newest and last sticker because we're not changing our logo again.
Yeah, and you can put them in a great to cover off the cut stickers too.
Exactly. Oh, you know what we should have done? We should have made it the exact same size as their dumb sticker.
That would be awesome.
And then started a whole thing. People like getting them and just putting them over to off the cut.
Or maybe have some cutouts in it so the yellow pops. Yellow makes the microphone pop. Mm-hmm. Like little flashes of light. I like it.
I mean, it's kind of like real life. You know, they're shadowed and covered up by a good podcast, being the Green Suitors podcast, the woodworking podcast, not off the cut, available on Apple and Spotify and all other streaming platforms. But we need the addresses because not everybody, one, put their address into Patreon, which I completely understand that. I get it. There's also no way for us to query addresses. We would have to look every single person up individually. And what I'm about to tell you guys is going to blow your mind because it blew my mind today. So fill out that form. If you didn't see the email, go back, search Nicole@benswoodworking.com. It's going to be the only email you've probably received from my wife. Please fill that out. It's just like six questions today.
So, to blow my mind, don't tell me Gary Furness actually lives in the United States.
No.
Oh, thank God. Oh,
he'd probably,
that would blow my mind.
Did he upgrade?
Probably egg our house finally, if he lived in the United States.
Did he finally upgrade to make up for what he did with Off the Cut?
Absolutely.
Is that what you're
going to
say? Oh, so it's not that either. Okay, well, moving on.
I said I'm going to blow your mind. I didn't say I was going to say something that is so completely unbelievable that doesn't even need to be said.
Gotcha.
So anyways, Nicole, right? She bought labels and I'm like, what are you going to do with labels? And she figured out or knows how, I didn't know this was a thing, to like import and work off of a table that she created via the survey and everybody's addresses, all 78 people that are the first 78 that are going to receive a sticker. She printed out, took 2 seconds, and we have everybody's address on everything. And here I am, the idiot, for I don't know how many years now, sending out stickers to my patrons by writing the address on envelopes.
That's why Kelly sends out mailing to all clients. Like, it's a very expensive thing to do too. You don't think about postage, you know, she sends out once a year. Right. And when she switched to Apple, when I finally was able to get her to switch, that was the first almost deal killer, because she could not figure out in Apple how to make it do the labels. And I had to Google YouTube and everything. And there's a way to do it. It's kind of a workaround, not quite as easy as like Excel, Windows, but
well,
once you
she used Excel. We have Windows Excel on
you can
our,
do it in Apple
computers.
Too, by the way. If you ever want her to switch, it's not that bad. It's just an extra step. But yeah, it's great. That's the way to do it.
I was
it.
Blown away. It came out perfect. That's awesome. Now we have the long, arduous task of stuffing envelopes with a sticker. And
that's
arduous.
Been our kids' job. That's been their job every December for as long as they can remember. They put a little calendar in and a business card and a little note. It takes time to do that, but it's a great job for kids.
That actually just reminded me. We did say last week that we were going to randomly draw one of the people that actually went ahead and submitted that and send them something special. So get this, Nicole, again, I know I keep saying her name, but she just keeps doing stuff that is really, really good for the podcast. And one of those things is she recommended, she was like, well, what do you think we should give a winner? I'm like, I don't know. We'll figure something out. We'll just send them a nice little care package or whatever. I didn't put too much thought into it. She's like, well, that's not good enough. So Nicole is getting on a plane to go to Germany on Wednesday. When this podcast comes out, actually, Nicole will be in Germany. Actually, you know what, guys? Well, no, wait, we should be good. Yeah, we're good. I was going to say, I may have to cut that out because of certain reasons, but she'll already be there at this point, so it won't matter. She just today got on Festool Germany's website, went to Festool Germany's fan shop, and we picked out a couple of things that you can't get here, but you can get there.
Oh, smart.
And she, because her family lives in Germany, so it's getting delivered to Germany, and she is going to bring it back, and that is what we will raffle off.
Very smart.
Or we'll give to one lucky person.
Wow.
Yeah, well, that's awesome. Now, are you going to be doing that drawing for the ones who've already, or are you going to wait till next week to do that drawing?
We're probably just going to wait till like the end of the month to let people, you know,
have time. Yeah,
have time to go in this. We'll talk about it one more time. And after that, like Nicole might send out a reminder to anybody that we haven't got it from.
Yeah.
But after that, I think we're just going to roll with it.
Yeah. Well, that's awesome. That really helps us to have that information for so many things. I'm really excited about getting that for sure.
You know what we could do when we do next monthly giveaway, when we do the drawing for that, we just do the drawing for the person for that as well. So. Should be pretty cool. It's not going to be anything crazy, just a little something that we can get while she's there. But I think that's all the administrative stuff that I wanted to talk about. We don't really need to talk about the Workbench Con code, because if you haven't bought your ticket yet, I don't know if you even can anymore. And by the time this comes out, it's like 4 days before going to Workbench Con. But if you do end up buying a ticket from now until it starts,
gosh, is it that close?
Yeah. Suitors.
It's like 2.5 weeks away.
Like I was going to say, do the how many sleeps thing like you do to a kid to me, because it's like, I don't do number dates. So like, it's like, well, we're on a Monday right now. So it's not,
yes,
not next Monday.
It's 3 weeks away. It's 3 weeks away.
Okay.
That's how I tell Leo how many sleeps.
That's how many sleeps. Okay. Hold I've on, got a couple of see. Sleeps.
One, two, always, three, four.
Every year, well, he's counting that. Every year, I have a pre-Workbench Con and after Workbench Con to-do list. Like I always, and as Workbench Con gets closer, I start sliding things over to after. I'm like, oh, it's going to suck when I get back from Workbench Con.
Yeah.
But it's good. It's another thing that drives my to-do list in February.
Yeah. For me, it used to be, now I go to Workbench Con, I used to go to the Arnold, and it's the same weekend now. So I'd look forward to the Arnold, and then 3 weeks from then, I was up in Workbench. I mean, JLC. And I'm really excited to be at JLC. So everybody up in that area, come see us. We'll be up there hanging out. all you patrons and friends of the podcast. Yes. It's going to be awesome.
We ought to do like we did last year.
Yeah, for sure.
Get the patrons that night.
What night are you getting in there? Wednesday night?
Me? I don't know yet.
Yeah.
No, Jason? I'd be there Thursday because US Tool is even getting there on Thursday. That's what Ryan told me the other day.
Yeah.
They're arriving Thursday, go through the setup just like they did last year.
Yeah.
Friday, Saturday. I'll go Thursday and I'll leave Sunday.
Yeah. I'm going to get in Wednesday night because I'm driving. And then I'll be there Thursday to help set up. And then Friday and Saturday. And then I get the heck out of there for a week up to Maine.
Nice.
Should be fun. We're still working out the details. And I'm not sure what I'm going to be doing yet. Possibly the Conturo again this year, actually, because it went very well last year. And that's a big ticket item to sell. So
I'm doing the CSC again.
Nice.
Yeah.
And if Ronnie's there, he's just going to do everything.
Yeah, I'll just do everything.
Yeah.
Last time I was a filler.
Yeah.
You should. Okay, let me ask you this, Ronnie. If you were to demo a tool, I know you can demo a ton of them, all of them probably that you own, right? Mm-hmm. If you were chosen to demo a tool, or if you were going to, which one would you do? Which one would you like to do the most?
You know, the one you set off, since Edge has the CSC50, I'd probably the KSC50. That's the one I use the most. That's almost like a daily tool for me. So that's probably the one that stands out to me. About that, I mean, I love the 18, the TPC 18-4 drill.
Yep.
I believe. Yep. I don't think people realize how amazing of a tool that is. You kind of just look over it as a drill. And I think it's cool to show everybody all the things that does. I think it'd be a great first drill if somebody was looking into getting to the Fest tool because it does a little bit of everything.
Right.
So I use that a lot. That's one of my most used tools. And the CXSs are nice, but there's not really a lot you can show with that. You know, it's just a bare bone, you know, nice drill. But I think the TPC 18, is it 18-4? Is that right?
Yeah, it's the TPC 18. It's the quad drive. It says 4 because it's the quad drive.
Yeah, that's the gear switching top part on there from 1 to 4. That it's a lifesaver. I mean, when you're up and you're trying to make a quick change and you realize you have it way too fast, there's nothing faster to be able to go from that 4 to 1 with just a flick of your finger. It's pretty handy. It was very well thought out. You can tell that there was a lot of interviews that went on to design that that drill.
Yeah.
So I think a lot of people, when they see what that's capable of, they'd be a lot more interested in it.
Yeah, that's evolved. Oh my God, has that evolved? It was the quad drive under the Pro Tool name. It was the PDC there. And then when we did One Fest Tool and we brought everything together, instead of just having Pro Tool separate, it was the quad drive PDC. And one of the things that was confusing is what you're talking about. All the different switches on top to go from hammer drill to drill, the 1, 2, 3, 4, and then the clutch on it. And then when we came out with the TPC, that was the total evolution of that 1, 2, 3, 4 switch.
Yeah, it's a
the quad drive. It was patented. The 4-speed was patented for many, many years.
That's really cool. However, they did that.
And you need that speed for a hammer drill to agitate that carbide tip on a hammer drill bit. It's like going through freaking butter.
It is.
Yeah, nothing like agitating the tip a little bit.
I mean, you've got to, and I always would tell, make sure you're aware when you're in speed 4, because Ayo. 4 is fast. You will burn your skin, the hand off your skin when you hold on to the chuck. If you're in speed 4 and you grab onto it. I've done that regularly. Like I try to unlock the chuck and you're in speed 4 and you hit it and it's like, and it's just like, whoa, and you feel your hand burn.
So it's funny, Ronnie, that you brought that drill up. I agree with everything you're saying. But when I was doing the internship with Festool and all the time that I spent with Sedge and him going over all the tools and everything, there was two tools in particular that I was really, really impressed by, like things that I didn't really know about them. One was the 2200, which I then bought and I now own. The other was that drill.
Yeah.
It's which I also own now.
It's a great drill.
It's way better than the PDC. Way better.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And that's, remember when we did the install, or you installed the Mr. Cool, and I handed you the my Pro Tool? Everybody goes, oh, you guys are using Rigid. And then we had, that was funny. No, it was my Pro Tool.
What a hypocrite.
PDC. Yeah, whatever.
They called him a hypocrite when I was posting about it on Instagram, because they thought that we were using Rigid, and he's like the Festool guy.
No, yeah, it's a Pro Tool. It's a Festool.
I remember seeing that comment.
Whatever.
Yeah, well, I think JLC is going to be fun. That's a good show. I think that show is just enough. A day and a half.
Yep.
Right?
Perfect.
Yeah.
And it brings out the best group of people, too. I mean, I always tell Kelly, I'm like, if I had to pick a show where there was the most like-minded people, it would be JLC.
Yep. Yeah,
it's very similar. I think a lot of our audience would mesh the well with it's just a good group of people, and it's not too. I think some of the shows we've talked about get to be where you have the owners, the higher level people, not in the trades. You start getting a lot of things like that. JLC kind of sticks with the trades level.
It just
sticks with it. Yeah. And
it's
I
the
like
crews.
That.
They're walking through, seeing what's latest and greatest, and they're learning about how, a new technique from a pro as well. And that's what's the seminars, so I think, what make it.
Yeah, I agree. Those are so interesting.
And for me, this will be my 17th year. It's like going home. Mm-hmm. I know so many of those guys that are walking the show, and they come up and say, how you been? How's the family? Mm-hmm. You're just going home to a lot. I'll hear it. Hey, you going home after this again? Yeah.
So, you know, into that, I think I mentioned a part of that before, that I've realized that people there think that it's a local show only, because they're always shocked that I came from Kentucky. They're always like, you came all the way up here for this? I don't think they realize that it's so unique, and there's nothing like that in the country right now that goes on like yearly. And they think it's a local show, and then all the high schools are there. You always see them come through on field trips on Fridays, and which is awesome that they get to do that. But yeah, it's worth traveling for. I mean, I'm coming. What is it? It'll be a 13-hour drive for me, I believe, 12 and a half hours. So I have to fly pretty much, but it's worth going to. It's worth. I like it.
I think out of all of the shows that I've been to, that are like tool vendor shows, that's my favorite.
It's my favorite for sure.
It's the right amount of time. It's the right size. Mm-hmm. It's a great area. I love Providence, Rhode Island. It's just a fun time.
It's the right amount of beers.
Right amount of beers.
It's great watching you skip across the street, eh, Ronnie?
Yeah, we're waiting for him, and he skips across the street. I think I got the video, and I never did anything with it. He doesn't even know I had
good.
That.
Good.
He's skipping across the street because he knew we were watching him, so he just thought he'd skip. Yeah, it was funny.
Yeah, no, it was a funny video. Oh, and our extremely rude waitress that first year, who ended up being amazing, and then was our waitress again last year at that one,
right?
Where I was skipping across the street, and she'll probably be our waitress again this year.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
Good times. Yes. Can't wait. Looking forward to it.
Me too.
Looking forward to that. Looking forward to Workbench Con. It's going to be great. Looking forward to Germany in April. Going to be awesome. But so tonight is episode 125. So it is a answer Q&A episode, which we haven't done one. I probably in like the last three opportunities for us to do this. Who knows if we'll get into it again tonight. We do have some questions pulled up on Discord. I did a query over there. It's just easier for us to access the Discord questions all together without us having to transfer stuff to a Google spreadsheet and all this other stuff. So with that being said, if you guys want access to our Discord, you got to become a patron. So that's another benefit to becoming a patron.
And speaking about Discord, when I looked at it tonight, I couldn't find the topic. So I called Jason, and I know some people are probably like me on Discord. If you look to the left, it says text channels. Go up and hit browse channels, because it'll open up a different window. And there was a lot of threads that I wasn't paying attention to. Like, I didn't know there was a barbecue thread. So you have to check them to put them in your left-hand scroll. Yeah, and that's where I was missing a few things, and it was a couple threads that I started reading. I was like, oh man, I wish I would have participated in these. So that Discord is fantastic.
It really is. Like, I was very hesitant about it at first.
It is fantastic, but you do have to learn the way it's laid out. It's not laid out as easily as, say, like a Facebook group would be, where it's just very intuitive. You can just browse. You have to kind of be in the right folder, but once you get used to it, I think it is. But it was a learning curve for me at first. But a lot of people already are used to using Discord for other things anyway. Mm-hmm. This was just my first exposure to it.
Guys, I cannot believe this.
What?
How on earth have we not talked about patrons yet? New patrons.
Oh,
what am I thinking?
You're just,
I was like, oh yeah, all of our admin stuff is done.
You're just all caught up on the Festool Germany prizes coming back and all these other things. It's just,
you just started going off on your TPC.
Yeah, your Workbench Con and your JLC.
Yeah, and your JLC.
TPC and your
CSC. Yeah.
Well, we do have some people to welcome and thank. Last week, an hour before the podcast, we had Mr. Ken Meinhardt, who we all received an email from, which we need to discuss. Maybe after tonight's episode, we can take a look at that and discuss it. Or we talk about it at WorkbenchCon. But since Tuesday, since the last episode, we have had some changes. And the first one is we have a new member who is already a member, but I think maybe his like yearly thing renewed, but he's already been a patron. It's Dave Embry.
Hello, Dave. He is married to Gwen.
Yep.
Oh,
yep.
That's Gwen's husband.
So he has signed up. I'm pretty sure he was always a apprentice.
He's a good dude. Yeah. I like hanging out with him.
But he's signed up. Thank you so much, Dave.
Thank you.
We do have, everyone, drum roll, please. We do have yet another journeyman.
No way.
Yes, we do.
Really?
Whoa.
We would like to welcome Mr. Wayne Kempf.
Welcome.
Welcome, Mr. Kempf.
Yes, that's awesome. How did you forget to talk about this?
Yeah.
I know, right?
Your JLCs and your TPCs.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, here's the other thing. And the very next day, we also got another apprentice paid for the whole year. And it's Don of Dam Woodworking.
Damn.
How do you spell the woodworking part? Is it just... how do you spell that part? Is it just D-A-M?
D-A-M.
Yeah, I wonder, it just says
Don,
that an acronym?
Of Dam Woodworking.
Damn.
It's either an acronym, it is all capital D-A-M, or he just really is frustrated with woodworking.
I'm wondering his shop is by a famous dam in his local vicinity.
It could be, because that is actually the proper spelling.
Or he doesn't know how to spell, and people love his woodworking so much, they go, damn.
Also a possibility.
That is
damn,
a possibility.
That's good.
We'll have to clarify that. See, if we had the spreadsheet filled out, we can reach out and find out these facts about our patrons and our supporters. That's why we need.
Matter of fact, I should look at the spreadsheet. I wonder if he's actually filled it out. Speaking of that, that's actually a really good point. Anybody that joins after when Nicole originally sent out the email, they never got the email. So we're going to have to take a look at that maybe tomorrow. We'll get it all situated. But welcome, everybody. And we
thank you very much.
Yes, we appreciate it. Thank you so much. It's great. It's making the trip that the three of us are going to take for one special journeyman or master level, which we have nobody at the master level, but if we did, it's making it more and more possible for us to do that, right? So,
well, we're going to do it regardless, but it makes us possible.
Yeah, we're going to do it no matter what.
Without us just losing a ton of money.
Exactly. Yeah.
We're getting close to the break even.
Yeah.
Yeah. you know, if it was one person, it's one thing. But when it's three people and three hotels and a rental car and, you know, lodging.
I thought we were all going to share a room. Flights.
We're going to get a king bed suite.
Oh, we're not sharing a room. No,
Oh, come on. Now I'm not going. I was looking forward to it.
Three green suitors in the bed.
So I've shared a room at Workbench Con every year that I've gone so far. And this year, not happening.
No, not happening.
Yeah, it's not worth the discount, really.
No.
And it was fine. Like, I didn't have, like, I had great roommates. Ben was one. Ed was one. It's just, I'd so much rather just be alone by myself. Because, man, when you leave
you
that
need
floor,
you need
you
the getaway.
You just want to be alone.
Yeah.
You want to lock the door. You want to lock the door and close it off.
Yeah. I got this little kid that follows me around. Huh?
Yeah. Dang kids.
That damn kid.
You know what always makes me feel better about being worn out during Workbench Con is when I see him and he is worn out, like to the point of the next day, it's hard to wake him up. And then I realize it's not just that I'm getting older, because even a 16-year-old can't hang with us. He is dragging. And when we get back home, he's 2 or 3 days. You can tell he is worn out. So makes me feel better.
A really quick question.
Seven inches.
Because I know my answer. What is your okay? So let's just think about Friday of Workbench Con. What is your favorite part of the day, the whole day, day and night? What's your favorite part?
Night.
No, but I mean, what at night?
Just hanging out
at the bar, talking to people.
Yeah.
I think dinner for me and talking to people.
Yeah.
You know, when we go to those places and we just sit around and shoot the BS, drink a couple beers, eat some good food. Yeah. You know, I love that part.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I'm
excited.
The best.
I'm excited.
I think it's clear to everyone listening that we're all ready to go somewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's.
Well, when we get back, it'll be an easy episode. We can talk about our experience at Workbench Con.
Yeah.
Like every podcast we'll do that goes there.
Yes. Have you noticed an increase in woodworking podcasts lately, or just seem like the buzz? It seems like there's more things going on lately. Have you noticed? Or is it just me? Or is it just my
I noticed that there's a lot of woodworking podcasts. And the only reason I found a lot of them is when I'm searching for rankings on ours.
Uh-huh. Okay. Mm. Yeah.
There's a lot.
Oh yeah. There are.
I thought there was only one.
You're right. There is only one actual woodworking podcast. It's the Green Suitors podcast, which is
the woodworking podcast.
Yes.
The all caps. It even says it on our sticker.
It does. If it says it on the sticker, it's true. You can't say something that's not true and put it on a sticker. They won't let you.
That's right. Yep. So one thing I was going to say before we got sidetracked there on the journeyman was, I want to say we have 5 now. Yeah. So what started out is just that, you know, nobody signing up. Then we got that one and it's like, that person's like a shoe-in. They're definitely going to get picked. Now it's going to be down to the wire, right? People are going to be wondering who is it going to be? And it's going to be a great giveaway.
Right. That's exciting stuff. I'm excited about it. Thank you for everyone for supporting us. We appreciate it.
Yeah, yes. And I'm gonna stop eating wings until we go, so I can really eat a lot of wingies.
Yeah, really make it worth it.
Yeah. I ain't gonna ever stop eating wingies.
I've gotta do one. I'm doing the same thing on my own Patreon. I gotta do one. I think I'm gonna draw for my own personal one in like June or July, probably June, and then try to plan that first trip, and then I'm probably going to do another one around the holidays. But we are only doing one, correct, for the podcast?
For the first, yeah.
For this year.
Well, I don't think we completely decided, but we're going to be doing one for sure.
Yeah, this year.
One for sure.
One full show.
Yeah.
Hey.
Yeah.
Now we have to.
Ronnie.
What?
Ronnie, do you have a Patreon account for your Fulton Fine Woodworks?
I don't. I thought about doing it for the boat and some things we have coming up just for people that want to support, because we're going to be pouring a lot of education into people's souls and all of that. And so I have thought about it, but I have not pulled the trigger on it.
Yeah. I'm starting to get mine together right now for Sedge Tool. I got some cool things. I think I'm going to have 50 different levels. Easy to manage.
There's $1 through $50.
Have 7 free levels. And then start paying at the eighth level.
How funny would that be if you made 50 levels and it was just $1 increments?
Yeah. And you, and thank you for your support all the way to 25. And then
we've got a new member.
That is some gimme stuff.
We've got a new member of our $37 tier.
Yeah.
the 32 millimeter tier.
Yeah. Be great.
That's funny.
People would probably just be like, you know what? Screw it. I'm just going to go to the bottom one or the top one. I don't want to read all these other ones.
I know.
It may not be a bad idea.
My consideration for it, Sedge, to your question, is I'm starting to more regularly get, I've had people message, I'm sure you've had it happen too. They've messaged me and they said, how do I send you, do you have, they start bringing up different accounts that they want to send a little thanks, and I don't even have those set up.
Yeah.
And I just say, no, no thanks. But
the thing I think of is what value would it be? And I have found something. I'm not going to say it, but I have found it. And I think people will really be intrigued to of the value of it. So it'll be fun.
That belongs on OnlyFans. I think you're
confused. He's going to send wings. He's going to be like, you want 3 wings? You're this tier? You get 4 wings in the mail every week.
Oh, what a great idea. I could do it like the 5 wing tier, the you're 10 like, wing tier, and the 20 wing tier.
Actually, naming them that would be kind of smart.
Yeah, it would be. Sedge's wings.
Snack size.
Yeah.
5 wings, 10 wings, and 20 wings.
Yeah.
The Hooters platter.
The Hootie Hoot.
Or you could name, I wonder if that would be okay to do. You could name your tiers after wing joints, but like put like Buffalo Wild Wings is like the bottom tier.
Yeah.
Top tier is Ale Emporium, and then filter it in between with like that place in Buffalo.
Yeah, and we could do Duff's from Buffalo, and then Uncle Al's, Uncle Al's wingies. Those are good. That's in Davie, Florida. Oh, they got a Mount St. Helens sauce that's to die for. Oh my God, I'm getting hungry, and I just had a big salad.
Salivating.
You can call your Buffalo Wild Wings level something like, you're a member, but you're never going to pretty much hear from me. Something like that. Just like our servers.
Yeah, there you go.
Why are you here?
Yeah, why are you here, man? Get the hell out. Sit down, and I'll ignore you for a couple hours.
And in the event someone runs one, works at one, or anything like that, I will say that I'm speaking of being with you all, even specifically, just 3 or 4 different ones we've been to have all been that experience. We did the one in Indiana by the hotel for that festival build off, and we walked in. They were open. They were like, we're going to be closed soon. And I was like, but are you closed now? No, right. But we're going to be closed soon. And it was like 10 of us walking into there. There wasn't a soul in there. I was like, you would think they'd want the business. And they were like, they're going to be closed soon.
They do not want business in that.
It was clear. And I feel like I get that vibe from every time I'm there, that they're annoyed when there's a big group. They're annoyed when you're there. But
because they have to work.
I guess so.
Yeah.
Fun stuff.
Atlanta, the one at WorkbenchCon, this last one, that was terrible. Remember, we went with patrons. Actually, we took the patrons to dinner. And it was that huge group of us, and like down at our end of the table, it was like as we were leaving, like ready to go, that's when they brought the food out for certain things. It's like, what is going on? Yeah. How is this possible?
Cameron didn't get his food or something. Cameron didn't even there was all kinds of things that went on. Yeah, it was a mess.
You laughed at me when I ordered 2 tall IPAs, and you're like, Jesus. Yeah. And I go, you'll see.
Yeah, he was very right because he was the only one that had it because you never saw her again.
Yeah. This year, you know what we need to do? I've never done it. All the years that I've been there, I've never done it. I've always gone to the restaurant in the hotel, you know, that little sports bar, which they're okay. You know, it's not bad.
Yeah, it's not bad.
Or we went to like B-Dubs or Cheesecake Factory, that whole area. I want to go to the Brasserie. I want to go over the interstate and go over there because I heard that area over there is way better.
I've never understood why you don't go over there. Cameron and I were over there like 6 times during WorkbenchCon. That's where we go for dinner every night, except for the one that we go to. There's so many places over
there. Let's
do it. Now,
are there any wing places?
The key, though, is on Friday and Saturday night, it gets pretty hopping like crazy, like busy.
Yeah.
So it's good to go there kind of off time, like earlier dinner time range or lunch. So we always usually do lunch over there.
Ronnie, you're going there on Thursday, right?
Yeah, I'll be there about midday.
Ronnie, you're getting there Wednesday, right?
Yes.
Let's check out the Brasserie Wednesday night.
Okay. Yeah, it's awesome. It's right across the
bridge. See what's over there. Yeah.
It's a nice little area, especially when the weather's nice.
Perfect. Well, you guys want to talk about what we've been up to?
Yeah.
Sure.
Who's first?
You go first. You went on a trip.
I did. Yes, I did. I went to Felder Group USA Tuesday, Wednesday, and came back on Thursday. And very, very good trip. Very good trip. Very productive in the sense that I was there for a very short amount of time, but I feel like I learned a lot. And the two things that I learned were how they go about properly dialing in and calibrating a K3 if like a service tech gets called out. The guy who I worked with, his name is Justin Mullen, and he's the like the head service tech. He's the guy that trains all the other guys that go out and do the house calls and shop calls and stuff like that. So we went through it. He showed me the tools that they use, what they're looking for, what points do what. And it's really mind-blowing to me just how much easier it is than I ever thought it was, because like the way I was trying to do things was not the way. But that's where the problem lies, is I was doing it a certain way because it's what I thought I needed to do based on what I was looking at, when in reality, that was not the case. There is no real great stuff out there for people to do these things. And that's something that they want to change. Hence why they asked me if I would come up and do this. So I'm going to do a video doing my own table saw, and I'm going to do a video doing my A341, which is the other machine that we went over, how to calibrate the joiner planer combo. And that's a machine that really, I had zero knowledge of in terms of how to make the adjustments, but after watching them do it and actually getting to participate in setting one up, it was substantially easier than what I think people assume it is based on the craze on the internet, right? Yeah. And what I mean by that is, I can't remember who it was, Daryl Peart or somebody a couple years ago, within the past 2 years. We've talked about this before on the podcast. Made a comment saying something about the spring joint and the beds aren't, you know, level with each other. And it just caused this huge stink with people that own the machines or were thinking about buying the machines. And, you know, I've always known about it because when I did the research, it was very clear that that was the case. But it's never been a problem for me. So like, I've never adjusted anything on my jointer planer combo because I haven't found a need to. I will be
now.
That
was the whole spring joint thing, right?
Yes. Yes. Which I actually saw visually, like what, and I think if I took a straight edge to mine, I would probably have the same thing, but it's never been a problem, right? It's not an issue. Therefore I have never made any adjustments or corrections because I don't feel like I need to, but I'm going to now, obviously. Here's what I will say about the joiner planer combo though. If you're not careful, and if I don't do a good job in the video, you can very quickly get into trouble. Very quickly. You could start going down a rabbit hole that, you know, you may end up having to call and say, hey, I need you guys to come fix this. But in all reality, it's really, really simple once you understand how it is. So I think it'll be good. You know, hopefully we'll see what comes of it. I did get a new watch when I was at the airport in Philadelphia.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. It's one that I've been looking for for a while, but of course these trips end up costing me a lot more than they should.
Is that like one of those $25 Rolexes that just outside the airport?
It is. Yeah. It's Folex. Yeah.
Nice.
Folex.
Relax.
But Not much else has been going on outside of that, other than today. I wanted to briefly talk about this. I made some changes to the layout of my shop today. And a lot of this is actually a result of my trip to Felder. I've been wanting to do it for a while, but I finally just committed today. So I needed to go rent a narrow pallet jack. So I found a Sunbelt Rentals in Brownsburg. And I went up there and rented it for like $30 or something like that for 4 hours. Brought it back, threw it right under the table saw, lifted that thing up, maneuvered it around. My table saw is now where my jointer planer was, but it's at like a 45. And the far outfeed corner of the table saw is now basically right next to where that support pole.
Mm-hmm.
So I have tons of outfeed. I have more outfeed clearance now than I did before. And I have more infeed clearance than I had before because I turned it on a 45. I moved the jointer planer to the wall where the table saw was. And then I moved the bandsaw to the end of the table saw. And it is really incredible, like how much more I like the way that this looks. And the reason I did this is because I will 100% be getting the Felder K700 sliding table saw this year. 100%. It's happening. While I was there, we looked at it. I took measurements. We configured the machine that I want. And the only way that I'll really be able to do that, not the only way, but the way that I would want to do it is to lay it out exactly the way that I have it laid out now. Mm. Because I will be going with the 8-foot slide capacity. And I think the way that I have it now is it's perfect. Perfect. And then I got to go through it with all the grit automation stuff. And I reprogrammed all of those in the app to match up with the new triggers. And when you turn on this tool, it turns on the right thing and they're all relabeled inside the app. It took about 5 minutes and everything is working flawlessly. So I wanted to get it done today because later this week, my intention is to start the built-in. And I didn't want to start the project until I made the changes. That way I can get a couple of projects under my belt to see if this is going to work or not.
Oh, cool. Yeah. See if it's the right flow.
Right. I do regret a little bit making the changes today because I've been wanting to do a shop tour video, which I will be doing in the next 6 weeks or so. It's on my calendar. And I kind of wanted to have it the way that it was. So then that way, if I do one again later on, like I can show the changes and why, but I think I'll still be able to, explain it just fine on why I did what I did. And I have plenty of content that shows where it was. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, really excited. Today was a good day. So
awesome.
I feel good. Ooh, one more thing that I did do. I did cut some hand cut dovetails. Did I talk about that on the last podcast?
I think you were starting doing some. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I haven't done any more, but I did cut some and it was a lot of fun.
Nice.
That's awesome.
Oh, speaking of that, I need to, next time I see you, Sedge, let me borrow that vise.
That Moxon vise. Absolutely.
Yeah. Cause yep. I think that's going to be a better solution for the foreseeable future. So I want to just want to try it out, see where it works, where it doesn't work. And then
I think it'll bring it up a little bit higher for you then too.
Yeah, we could build one together. That'd be fun. We should do a YouTube video.
Maybe I'll start a YouTube channel.
You should.
Should.
Wow.
Call it Sedge's Tool.
Sedge's Tool.
Sedge's Tool.
Hey, guys. Hey, guys, you want to hear something cool?
Mm-hmm.
About 2 or 3 months ago, we did an edge banding video, and I grabbed the file, and I showed we did a cutting edge banding with a file and letting it curl up, and Derek said, "Oh, let's do it. Let's do a let's post one of you just doing that and the sound, you know, the ASMR." We post it. We get like 1,000 views or whatever on it, you know. Big D reposted it last Thursday. I just looked at it before we. It's the first time we had a million.
Oh, nice!
A million view reel. And it was cool because it's at 1.5 now.
That's awesome.
It's the highest views we had before was 145,000 for a reel. So I felt pretty good about that.
Oh, that's awesome. That's good.
Yeah.
It's weird. That shows you, and I've seen it before too. Sometimes it's all about when. They say it's not, but I've posted the exact same video before and it's did okay. And the second time it just goes crazy. And it shows you if there's other factors to play than what is said. Even though they say it doesn't matter, it does.
Yeah.
It does.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
That's really cool though.
Okay, you guys want to hear what I've been up to?
And this besides is... being viral.
Oh no. You guys gotta hear this. So I thought when you're building something for somebody that you really care about, the missus.
Are you building me? Oh, I thought you were building something for
the
me.
The missus. And you give her all these different ideas, you know, and she goes, no, I think I want it this way. So the window seat, you know how I started in December and mm-hmm. I had mentioned something and we were talking about how whacked the walls are. And so this weekend I started cutting the top of that prototype top I have before I hit the cherry and put it together with cherry. And my brother-in-law is here. He goes, and I was reframing it for these hinges I got. I spent some money on these Celice aerial lift hinges that have the built-in lid stay. They're really nice. But I had to do some more backing on some framing, so I reframed it for the second time. I got it all done, and I got the three pieces now because, you know, I showed you that centerpiece, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I picked it up and leaned it up against the window. And she looked at it, and she goes, wow, how heavy is that? And I had her pick it up and do it. She goes, well, let's not do the hinges. Let's just do that. And I went, okay. And I took out the framing, and she went, oh, look at all the space I have in there now. That's perfect. And she sat on it. She's going, oh, look how solid that is. It's not moving. I go, oh, okay. That's what I freaking mentioned to you in December, but you didn't listen. You wanted hinges.
Yeah, that's funny. That's a standard customer talk.
Yeah. So I thought about this, and I thought back to my master bathroom in Fort Lauderdale in our townhome. I spent a small fortune on it, ripping it out, getting all the plumbing. The shower stall had five heads in there. You know, shower heads. It was to die for. Glass wall, everything. And I got the top tiler in Fort Lauderdale to put in all the tile work. And it lay dormant after that for probably 4 or 5 months because she kept changing her mind. I was only going to do it once. And she finally came up to me. She said, when are you going to finish the bathroom? I go, when you're finished. She goes, what do you mean? I go, when you're finished. So I thought back to that time and I went, you know what? I'm not in a hurry. And she's not really in a hurry. But you have to let her make the decision.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and now she sees it and she knows I'm going to have it done really quick. But now I'm going to start cutting the cherry ply. And I've already ripped up the front molding for the seat. And she's ordered the foam. And so I pulled one on her. She goes, I'm having a tough time picking out the material. And I think I'm going to make it permanent. I'm not going to make it with a zipper to take it out. And I go, okay. You know what would be really cool, though, is you could have Christmas colors for the cushion. She goes, and I go, you can have some for autumn and then have a spring pattern. And she goes, oh. So I'm doing the same thing she did to me.
And after she racks her brain on it for a couple of months, be like, just do a plain muted one cushion. Don't worry about all that.
But you
it should be standing with all the materials, the different ones.
I know. But you want to know something? She had to make the decision. Yeah. I knew it was going to happen because I knew that was the best way to do it. And the cushion's going to cover it up. And if I have any movement on that center panel, I'm just going to recess a couple magnets in there.
Yep.
It sits perfectly flush.
Yep.
And and the thing I was concerned about is because she wants to store puzzles and games under there. And now she knows how lightweight it is. And she goes, oh, that, look at all the space I have in there.
Yeah.
I like the idea of the magnets. I would definitely do that just to make sure it doesn't shift.
Yeah. I'm going to.
I did that on my van door, the two sections. I embedded two rare earth magnets on the top because one, it had a little bit of a rattle to it. And the other, a bump could make it kind of come out of the slot. And that was 2.5 years ago. It's worked perfectly. Just like two really small, like I would say smaller than a dime size, like a quarter inch size.
Yeah.
Those rare earth magnets and just
CA
glue and stick them in there. They work perfect. Yep.
Yeah, and that's all. I just don't want it to shift at all. And I'll tell you what, when I'm finished with it and banding, and I use the TS60 to rip, so it's only 1.8 millimeter, I'm going to have such a tight fit in there. It's going to be perfect. So I'm excited. And once again, I made that template. I showed you guys the template I made, right?
Yeah, about being off.
Yeah.
Yep. And it's perfect because we used to do that on yachts, you know, with door skins. I just used cardboard. That template was so perfect with the hot melt glue, 50 millimeter wide cardboard strips. And what was neat about it is it was dead on, but now Mary Ann's going to use it for the cushion.
Yeah, that's nice. Oh, cool. Double use.
I used it for the framing. I used it for the top. Oh my God. I saved the ripped strip for the front edge. The walls are off 2 inches, over 88 inches.
Yeah, those bays will throw the framers off for sure.
Regularly. Holy macanoli. And Mary Ann sees it. She's going, wow. I go, don't worry. When I'm finished, you will not be able to tell. And she sees it already. But it you know what? It's just been a fun project to see how it's evolved. And it's neat because this is how everything with her and I have, when I've found the time for something for the house, has evolved. And it's been fun. Because she knows it's her decision. I mean, you know that room that's right off the mud room? It's her library space, her reading room. She drew that on a napkin. We still have the napkin.
Oh, really?
That's awesome.
And she goes, you know what I want? She held it up. She goes, is that good? I go, yeah, it's perfect. She goes, you know what I want? I go, yeah, those two blocks are your chairs. And I built it. It's been fun. I actually like the inside of this house because we take a room here and there when we have the time, and it's cool. But just to see her excitement as it's getting done. So
yeah, that is fun.
Yeah. So, okay, I got one more thing, and this will segue to you, Ronnie. Okay. I got to tell you, I said it to you earlier. I said it to you this morning. I text you. I loved the van video you guys did.
Thank you.
It is great. Rick loves it. I told Brent about it at work. Rick says, yeah, I want to watch the whole thing. You know what? I was upset. It was only 21 minutes. I could have watched it for an hour.
Thank you. I'm glad to hear that. I would have liked for it to been like ended up being like a 40 minute video, but I feel like if for it to do that, I would have been getting off topic a little too much because I could actually make probably a series out of this.
Yep.
One would be how I came up with the ideas of the layout. Could be a video. I think I am going to do it, but I just had to cut out so much because I think I would have overwhelmed a lot of people. I feel like maybe you would have been able to keep up because you wouldn't have been focusing on the product as much. You're just focusing how I laid it out. I feel like I almost might have overwhelmed people just by what I was showing. But go ahead.
I liked, just so we could segue into you some more, but I like how you called out the zones. I love the drone footage. Okay. I love the drone footage of showing.
Damn it. Now I got to watch this damn movie.
The lights. Video. I love the drone footage to show zone 5 up top.
Mm-hmm.
It was perfect. I loved Cam. Okay. Now look how organized mine is. You know,
I'll tell you, and
he is such a character.
I cut a couple of his smart comments out because I didn't want people that didn't know him would think, what a little punk. They don't realize that we are like working together every day. We treat each other like coworkers. But it's funny. He said something else too. I don't remember what it was, but I just cut that part out.
But the caulking draw, the caulking drawer was perfect.
I thought you were talking about next to the trash can. Yeah.
Now the trash can was even better. So now you have to watch it, Jason.
Yeah, the trash
I'm going
can.
To.
I was mesmerized.
Well, thank you.
Thank you. That was great entertainment at 4 a.m. this morning.
Oh, you watched it at 4. That's awesome. Yeah. Well, I planned on uploading it sometime around Super Bowl time and ran into one problem after another. And finally, after it uploaded, I realized as soon as I uploaded it that it, and this is not as noticeable to on a TV screen, but it cropped wrong. And there's like a little black bar on each side. And I was like, I'm going to have to redo it. And it was like almost 11:30, 12. And Kelly was still up, which is rare. And she was like, don't worry about it. I can't tell. And I was like, but there's no way really to fix it. And it also put 4 minutes of dead time at the end of the video. Like, I don't know where it got. For some reason, there's 4 minutes.
Huh.
So I was able in YouTube to actually drag that back. You can change that. That's one of the few things you can change. But then it had to process all over again. All the checks had to do. So I don't think I published it until like, I mean, it was pretty late. So it's funny. You say you watched it for, you're probably one of the first people to watch it.
It was great.
Thank you. That's
I am saying this because anybody who has owned a truck, trailer, van, installation on the job site, okay, will appreciate this. It is, you said a couple of things that I hope everybody got. This saves me an hour because it's my hardware store. I think that was my number one takeaway line because of the way you organize all the parts, electrical, plumbing. I've done that. And I can't tell you how many times I had a list before we walked out of the shop of, hey, do you have this? And Mikey and I would check it off. And I go, he goes, yeah, I got that. I go, are you sure? Go see if you have the hole saw kit, you know, because of time saving when you're on that installation.
Yeah, it's huge. One of the most common places I see the benefit of it is when we get a call. Kelly gets the call, and it's like one of our rental houses, and she's like, so-and-so has a drip in her faucet. So something like that, for me to be able to swing by there and do it without going and being like, I'll be back in a minute. I'm going to run up to Lowe's. You know, that part is what sucks the time. If I can show up and I can take care of it and leave, sometimes it's almost a joke how long I'm there. I'm there for 10 minutes. But when you have to leave and go, that's where just the time is gone. But
that's the time suck.
The part that I'm hoping that most people will benefit if they're working out of a truck, van, trailer, anything, is that for a long time, especially when I first started, I was like, I'm going to have the work vehicle that I never have to. Everything is going to be on there. Everything. Like everything I could ever need. Like at the time, I'd be like, I'm going to have the 2200 router. I'm going to have the Conturo. I'm going to have everything. That's not possible. I have found out that's not possible. And it's also not, it's a waste because you don't
need a bigger van.
Around. Well, no, it's not about that because so that's where I'm saying, I think I can need make another video. Like I'm driving the 144 wheelbase. They make a bigger one, but I don't want a bigger one because I'll be driving around, for example, with a Conturo that I don't use a lot when I'm working just to maneuver a van that doesn't fit in a parking spot, you know? And I learned that the hard way when I first bought a 16-foot trailer, enclosed trailer. When I first started, I had my truck, I had a Tundra. And I was like, I'll get a trailer. And that way when I could still use my truck and I could, that was a huge mistake. Shortest thing I've ever had, 16-foot trailer. I was like, see ya. I sold it and I bought a 12-foot enclosed. Then I tried the Ron Park method, which I think it works great for a guy who's just a trim carpenter and just backs up to garages and works. It worked great. It was his setup. But I learned, even though I outfitted my trailer almost exactly like his, I learned that everybody's different. And one person's layout does not work for another. Yeah. But I think
another killer video. That's a great video.
Yeah, I want to conclude all that. I didn't want to get too far off when I did the tour. I just kind of wanted to show, and that's my core setup that I showed in the video. It's not my actual setup that I drive around with. You'll notice there's a lot of holes in there because generally I have a couple other categories, but I think it would have confused the tour. I even skipped over. I have a dent puller, a PDR kit that you put the glue on and you can pull out dents. I have that, and I cut that out of the tour because I think people would be like, well, why does he have that? I found it handy. There's been times when I've had accidentally put a dent in one of my tenants' washing machines, and I was able to get it out. I have to have a a toolkit of things that is not a discussion you want to have with a customer. Like if I damaged, I'd rather just fix it and not even, let's not even have that discussion. I fixed it,
yeah.
You know? So I try to be prepared for that kind of thing as well. But we lucked out on the video filming in that we had 3 days of exactly the same lighting. It was an overcast day. There's been a few days we tried to do it and the sun was just so bright, especially this time of the year. Once the sun's up, it's at the side and the angles, it's just really harsh. It's hard to do. And on your drone comment, it's funny. I was up on top of the roof and we're trying to get it. There's not a way to show where you are. People don't understand because all you see is around the edges and you don't even know you're on a van. So I was like, we're going to have to do the drone. We're going to have to show where I am, what I'm doing. So it was,
how long
it
is
was
the
a
video?
Challenge. It's 20,
21 minutes, 21, 15.
Yep. 21, 15. You're right. You're right.
You should do cut that out. You should do an even more detailed, longer video.
Well, if you do more, I mean, just now talking about a trailer and the mistakes you have made, and also talking about, hey, not one fits everybody. You're always tweaking. Like I thought that was cool where you have the storage. You just went straight up. Now you have that curvature in the back and you're storing. And you went, oh, look, there's a raincoat back here.
Yeah. Oh, but, there's so much back there.
But people need to see that because, especially people who have done it before.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
and there's a lot on that of my think. I want to do a video for sure on my thought process and how, you know, when I first bought it, it was right before a ton of projects and I wasn't able to do anything except stick the tool containers on the floor and take off. And I and, just sit there and think about what am I going to do? What am I going to do? And by the time I got, well, I did the first like furniture side of it.
Yeah.
I had changed my mind of what I originally planned to do because I drove around with it a little bit and it pays to not be in a rush to do it.
But, in your crash partition or your safety partition, the way you have those two removable doors. Oh my God. Smart, smart, smart.
Well, that was,
so,
go ahead.
Someone like I'm out of that now, but somebody who's in the biz right now for installation and sees those little things that you've done. That's why it's so important for shop tours. But all this van trick out is this van tour was brilliant.
Well, thank you so much. It's been on my list for a long time and, it was more time consuming than I thought it would be, but
yeah.
I'm glad that we got it knocked out. It
was, and by the way, Cam is a wise ass.
He said something. I don't remember what I was handing to me. He's putting his mic on. So it kind of got muffled anyway. I was like, I'm not going to put, people are going to be like, what's wrong with this kid? But, yeah, it was good. I'm glad that he was able to be in it and he was with me through the whole thing. And he's, you know, he's a great second. It's interesting, you know, Kelly's my great advisor on a lot of things, but since Cameron is, I will say he's in the trades as well. It's really nice sometimes that I'm able to bounce against, and he's like, I'll give you an example. It was really hard when I first did my first take of the van, that opens up for me not to say the Festool model names and to say what they are.
Yep.
And Cameron was like, you know, Dad, this isn't a Festool video. You don't have to say it. You don't have to say what they are. And I was like, that makes it so much easier. You're right. I don't have to say it. And I'm like, this is my track saw.
Yeah.
This is my, and I'm like, wow, this feels good to not say the actual model names. This feels, and that made it, that's where I was stuck in the beginning. So we started on that side door and I was like, this is a lot to say. It's a lot of words. And I'm glad that we realized that in the beginning. Yeah. But it's, I'm just glad to get it done. Cause it's been on my list for since last year to do it. So that's it's kind of made me think of other ones to go along with that, kind of let it become almost like a series.
Yep, for sure. For sure.
So that's been
what else you been up to?
I've been cutting some more composite panels on the CNC.
Cool.
Been doing that.
Still?
Yeah, we've got some scragglers keep coming in. I get a little Excel sheet every once in a while. So we're still cutting for that. There, some, you know, it's custom made the way they're doing this line. And even though a lot of it's CAD, once they get the machines placed and the riser like stages are going around this machinery that, and then as they're putting it out, sometimes there's some things that they're like, we need more of a filler between these two things. So then now they're making some custom staging on top of what they made originally on the plans. And then each one of those have to have a panel. So I'm getting all those requests now too. So I've been working on that. I've been, there's something else really that I was going to say, but I can't remember what. Oh, I know what I was going to say. I went down a rabbit hole of SSD card problems that I ordered a 4 terabyte Samsung SSD card, and Amazon was like, we've got this used for like $70 cheaper. Do you want to go with that? Instead of like 300, it was like 220. And I was like, well, okay, I don't care. Just drive. Big mistake. Yeah, big mistake.
Speed.
Well, not just speed. The drive was returned. I went out and looked in Samsung's 4 terabyte drives. There's like a class action suit right now for failures, and that they just have all kinds of problems. And I thought, you know, SanDisk, it's a good company, whatever. Mine, I edited the van tour video 3 times. And the second time, first time was 5 hours I had in it, and it just died on me. The drive, it just died, and the backups was unrecoverable. And then I thought, oh, it's something I did wrong. Let me start over again. I had 3 hours in the next time, and I stopped for the night. The next time it was corrupted again. So it was this drive that I saved. Go ahead.
Can I ask something? Did you lose the files and had to reshoot, or no?
No, I did not lose the files.
Can I make a suggestion in the future?
Yes.
Are you operating or are you editing off of that hard drive?
It was my goal, but
don't do it.
Well, you gotta remember when you're shooting 4K, which I changed the van video to the 2K. I did not shoot it in 4K, but I barely, with a terabyte drive on my MacBook, I almost didn't have enough room to put it out there. It was 900 gig to put it out there and do it on my laptop. So I did that for that video, but there was no way I could do it for the other one. I have a 1 terabyte.
I see what your problem is.
Yeah, I have a 1 terabyte Samsung drive, and I've edited from that no problems at all. But this SanDisk one, I just returned it, and I looked online at Best Buy, and they had a 4 terabyte Samsung, and Kelly was going by there, and she picked it up for me, and it worked flawlessly. But it was a learning experience for me. Don't buy a used drive. Apparently, people are returning them. And then I also thought about, you know, people are buying drives like that just to transfer data over, like between computers, and they turn around and send them back. It was also, when I got it, it was formatted. I'm a past IT person, or somebody would have been out of luck. This thing was formatted in an NT file format. It had been formatted, so the Apple did not even recognize it. You could not even format it from an Apple. So I had to do all these steps. That was right there where it wasn't worth it. I had to do all these steps to even make it work. Then after that, I ended up having the other problem. So I was not happy with that. But the goal, the moral of the story is, I have never been closer to just saying forget it. Because I had 8 hours in editing a video that did not exist before I even did it. What I will say is, I always try to look for a positive, and I always try to kill Cameron. If something bad thing, just think about what the positive is. You know what it is? Each time I edited that video, do you know how much faster I was able to do it?
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
I knew exactly. I was like, oh, this is where I say this word 3 times. Bam, gone. This is where I do this. Bam. I mean, I was killing it on the 3rd time. So I would highly recommend edit all your videos 3 times. Definitely.
Oh my God.
I will say, Ronnie, in case you're looking later on, I've really been impressed by these Western Digital SSDs.
Really?
I have not had a single problem with it. It's super tiny. It's very fast. They work absolutely wonderful.
This is the one that I have, the terabyte version, the Samsung. This is the 4 terabyte. I thought it'd be, it's pretty much the same size, but.
Well, this is really tiny. Like,
I think ours is the same size.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, it looked different because you had it so close.
Yeah. These are great.
Really thin.
So I needed this for the boat. The boat footage that I have right now is 3 terabytes. And I have to have it on something just to be able to even go through it. So that's where I've been working a little bit on the boat thing on the background of that video and videos. I don't know. We've just been creating a ton of footage of everything we've been doing. So we've been working on that. Oh, that's the other thing we've been doing, working on the boat.
Yeah. Of course.
Well, Ronnie, I do want to at least get to somebody's question. But since you just brought up the boat, Steve put in a couple of really good. Sorry, everybody. We're not going to be able to get to all of the questions tonight, but there's some really good topics in here that we can talk about on other podcasts. So thank you for sending them in on Discord. But since you're talking about the boat now, I think this is a perfect opportunity to cover one of his questions, which was, what are some of the things which surprised you the most about the boat build so far? And what have you learned so far? And what was different from what you imagined?
I've did so much research. I'm not sure there was a lot of surprises in reading on forums of other people that built. I think the biggest thing that surprises me is how much goes into the part of the frames and the outer side before it's flipped. Like the boat is practically a boat when it's flipped. And I think that part I didn't really think out. I kind of thought that'd be a quick part and you just flip it over. And so that, and then the other part, I would say the biggest part that of something that I was not prepared for is the amount of surface prep that's going into getting the boat ready. And learning about all the epoxy things that I didn't know. For those of you listening out there, epoxy is for more than river tables.
No way.
Have you got the cloth on there yet? The glass?
I have the cloth. That's going on. It should be our first piece should go on maybe as early as 2 or 3 days from now. Days from now. So that's going to be divided into 5 sections a day between each one. So that's five days for just the fiberglass cloth. So I'm looking at like 9 days out before we possibly will be able to flip it. That kind of falls in probably really close to Workbench Con. So maybe like right after Workbench Con, because once we get the fiberglass on, we put 2 layers of epoxy and then there's all the coats.
You were trying to get it to where you flipped it yesterday, right? For the Super Bowl.
Yes. But Cameron remembered that he has 5 really large friends and he's a grown person now. And I didn't need these other guys. I was like, that's so true. What am I thinking? So we were going to really be cutting it close to do that. We realized that about a week and a half ago. So we aborted on that. Because that's not a part to rush. Once you flip the boat, you never really have as good of access to it. So you might as well do that part right before you flip it. Yep. Did I answer all the areas of his questions?
What has surprised you the most? You said you didn't have any surprises. What have you learned so far? What was different from what you imagined? I mean, yeah, you kind of did. He has a follow-up to it as well.
Well, the learned was hand tools, and I've talked about that on the podcast in the past weeks. I've learned the benefits of hand tools, and I'm regularly, every time Cameron and I work, I'm like, this is so much easier to do with this.
Okay, this is perfect, because his follow-up was, how has incorporation of hand tools changed you as a woodworker? Why did you wait to explore more hand tool use in your work, and what surprised you the most about hand tools? So it's kind of the same thing, but with hand tools, because you've talked about how you've kind of had a new obsession and a newfound love for using them on the boat.
Mm-hmm. And the reason why I waited to the boat is because Norm Abram was my instructor and he didn't use hand tools that much when I watched the show. So I didn't either, but I skipped right to power tools and there was nothing I could not do with my Bosch flush cut saw and a sander. I could get those edges right up, you know, flushed up, and I just kind of skipped that step. I was never taught that. I learned it on the streets. I've said that before. I learned what I was exposed to, and I kind of in my mind thought that that's just not part of me. Also, I used to try to watch the show. What's the guy that comes on that walks through the forest before he gets to his shop?
Roy Underhill.
Yes, Roy Underhill. And I have to say that show didn't grab me. Like, I think I would be more interested in it now, but at the time I would watch it and I'd be like, dude, just use a power tool. That's kind of my take on it when I was in my, you know, teens and 20s. So that didn't, now I would be very interested in that show. I'm sure said you probably enjoy that show more because
very much so
blades, but at the time I did not. So I think you have to get to a certain point in your building where you can see the benefits of it. And a boat, I don't know if there's a better example of where hand tools are just perfect. So that's where that came. So I've came full journey, but we got it just in time because I actually put a huge nick in our bench plane last week. I hit a bronze screw and it put the impression of, think of a deck screw, the head of a deck screw size. It put a half moon in the blade that big. And I was like, oh, it grabbed it. And Cameron was like, no big deal. And he went over there and he fixed it in like 15 minutes, had it ridiculously sharp. Like so sharp, when you go with your thumb to feel it, your skin comes off on the blade.
Yeah.
It's so sharp. So that was cool. That nice. Was neat.
That is cool.
We have time, and there's another question that I think would be good to talk about. I think I'll start it and tell you my thing, because I wasn't in a business for a long time. But Justin Addy and Don Patterson had a question about SOPs in our business. So SOPs, for those that don't know, standard operating procedures, right? So Justin asks, what are and how did you come up with your SOPs in your business? And I'm particularly interested in Sedge's answer when he ran his cabinet shop, as I'm trying to do the same thing. And then Don Patterson wanted to add a little bit to it and say, do you actually document the SOPs and track the revisions? So like I said, I'll start real quick. So when I was doing this, I was at such a small scale. I was building custom furniture for local clientele, right? I mean, it's all word of mouth. I didn't really have too many SOPs moving along until the end. I had things that I knew worked, and I just kind of stuck with those, and like my quote sheet and all of the estimate stuff, my pricing, it would all evolve constantly because I was getting better. I was getting different clients. My prices were going up. But then when I started to feel like I was really getting a good groove on it and I had a good client base and was working 4 to 6 months out, I stopped doing it. And I started to focus on the content creation side of things. So that's about as much help as I can be on this for this particular topic. But I'm interested to hear your guys's take. Said, do you want to go since me and Ronnie have been away?
I read it from Justin, and then I smiled when I read Don's. This is going to sound weird, but I never documented any of that. It was in our heads, our standing operating procedures. Now, standing operating procedures, we had our basic quotation schedules that we went through. Okay. And someone says, well, how did you get business? It was always word of mouth. We always had business. We always had people waiting, but we would go in, we'd listen to the customer, come back, quote it out, discuss it through and through to see if there were any hiccups in there. Okay. And I guess that's our standard operating procedures, how we were doing it. We just didn't document it. Of course, we'd have quotes, but we also had the contract for the customer ready to say, what's the payment schedule? Okay. Right. And I think I've covered that before on here, 30, 30, 30, and 10.
Yep.
We had our gravy already. The 10 was the gravy, as we called it. Then the procedures were get them on a schedule. Okay, make sure they understood the schedule. And then making sure they understood about changes. Making sure they understood what their colors were, what their palette was. Okay, it is really difficult. And I guess our documentation was our contracts that we had. Our standard operating procedures, but change orders. You know, I mean, we waited one time for one lady, and back then it was voicemails back and forth. Okay, and we were waiting for her, and we would call twice a week and leave voicemails. She just wasn't responding. So the thing that sucks about that is you have that stored, that kitchen in your shop waiting for her to respond. But then she gets pushed back. Okay, so I went off on a tangent there, but you got to be aware of that. So standard operating procedures, make sure you have it scheduled out right. And your schedule, and when you're scheduling, make sure everybody is scheduled. I didn't do electrical. I didn't do plumbing. I didn't do granite countertops. That was all, you know, done by guys in our area that we subbed out. I built boxes. Okay. And did I coordinate everybody? Yeah. Because it was our kitchen that we designed. So there was a lot of stuff that I'm skipping over. You know, the quotation was part of, you know, the design of the kitchen, but they didn't get the design. Follow me?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. There's, oh, can I have a copy of that? No, go pound sand, lady. You know, because she was just going to take your design and go shop it somewhere else.
Just give her Marianne's drawing that she gave you for her library. Right?
Yeah, here, it's on a napkin. There's a lot of stuff to this that you have to be aware of as you go through that procedure or that process. So, no, I didn't have documentation. Neither did Mikey. We just knew our roles that we had to go through. And then, yeah, of course, we know how long it's going to take us to build because that was part of our quotation and sticking to it. And when I say sticking to it, it was the two of us. So 5 in the morning, 4 in the morning, till 10, 11 at night sometimes. But we had a schedule that we had to stay on top of because we had a promised delivery of installation. Right?
Right.
And we were the installers. We did not trust anybody to install our boxes. And it just worked out. It evolved to the point where we were aware of customers' demands and we knew the signals to listen to. And I was blessed to have him as a second set of eyes and ears. Because we were saying, hey, that's a red flag. That's a red flag. So if I understood the question.
No, yeah.
That's a basic procedure that we went through, but I didn't document it.
Well, you probably didn't need to because it was just two of you. The same for me. We know it. We know it in our head. But if we had other people and team members, we would have to document it just to hold them accountable. But
yes,
Cameron and I both are stakeholders, and we know we're both trying to, you know, mentally. Our process is also driven by our accounting software. Pretty much that's our process that goes from like the deposit to the different levels of it that we kind of keeps track of it for us. My biggest thing is the process part. And I'm always trying to look at the process while it's going on and seeing if we need to make any changes and then do like reflection and countermeasures after a project of like, whenever you have a problem, I'm never doing that again. I'm not doing that again. I'm not doing that again. And that is just an ongoing build in the brain and not documented. But if I had other team members, it would be.
Yeah. I mean, I mentioned something earlier. We were discussing your van. One of our standard operating procedures were the checklist leaving to go do the install. I can't tell you how many times I thought you brought a hammer. No, I thought you brought the stud finder. No, we must have had 20 stud finders, 20 freaking hammers that we had to go out to the hardware, Home Depot, get one.
You know that, you know? I found the easiest thing to forget on an install is the actual thing you're installing, because it's came so close for me before. I'm like, okay, I've got my stud finder, I got everything. And say you're installing like a wall mirror. Did you get the wall mirror that you're installing?
Yeah.
Because it's so obvious. It's not even on your pack list, but it's the thing you could forget. And oh my gosh. Yeah.
The install list had many revisions. So I guess that was a standard operating procedure list, wasn't it? Yeah.
There
okay.
Yeah.
It sounds funny. I am from older times, you know, 30 years ago. Guys, internet was, this sounds so antiquated, but in the late 80s and 90s, early 90s, there was no social media. I am so daggone jealous because we would invite the customer to come by our shop. The name of our company was called Furniture PhD, and Mikey called our shop the surgical studio. He was just funny as shit.
That's awesome.
And he goes, "Yeah, you want to come to our operating room to see the your kitchen being built?"
That's
and
good.
It was,
I like
it. Cool.
Yeah,
it was kind of cool because they would come in and we would have it cleaned. Mm-hmm. You know how a shop can look in the middle of building something out, and they would say, "Hey, oh, that's cool." And then we'd show them some, you know, and they'd look around and they go, "Oh, wow, you guys really operate organized, which always tried to be. But I am jealous because of social media. They could have followed us on social media and seen their build.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, I would have done something like taking pictures and say, hey, Mrs. Silver, what do you think of this? Or this is for the Silvers and this is for the Browns and the Smiths or whatever. And it would have evolved like that.
Yeah, but that would have been handy. You touched on something really important, I think, also when you're talking about pack list, your statement of work was your pack list. For me, the same, and you talked about on the van tour, I have that bank of sustainers that have all those supplies in there.
Yep.
My checklist would be to look to make sure that's all stocked before I went to something that was, you know, a big deal. And I don't even have to think about my pack list because I have my core tools with me. It's what is not standard that I need to bring. That's thinking.
It's really funny, Ronnie, because you mentioned about snap away screws for drawer pulls and hardware. I'm going to tell you, I can't tell you. We had to run to the hardware store a few times to get some ran short on a few things.
You know, the other one that is all the time are the, I don't remember what they're called, the fine threaded screws that go into electrical boxes. They're like, what are they called, 1022 screws or something like that. They're the carriage bolt kind that come with all of the electric things you buy. Like, you know, the ones you have to line up for the kind that have the little screw on things. Yeah. Those are the things that you do not have. And like, if it doesn't, something doesn't come with it, I need those all the time. That's a common one. Having things like that is just gold. You learn that as you go.
I wanted to highlight something. Like all of us, we all said we didn't document anything and we didn't really have SOPs like on paper, but like as a guy coming from the military, everything we did was an SOP, right? Like I spent 20 years developing and coming up with SOPs, and the whole purpose of an SOP, and I'm bringing this up because Ronnie, you mentioned it. When you're just a couple of people or yourself, it's not needed, right? The purpose of an SOP is that anybody else could walk in and they could open up that SOP and they could know, here's how we quote, here's how we do this, here's how we do that. You don't have to ask any questions. That's the purpose of that document. So I don't think in a small business like this, that would be necessary. But then you have a guy like Nick Schiffer from NS Builders who has an entire crew. Mm-hmm. And or Fine Line Millworks here in Indianapolis, that would be another good example where they have multiple employees.
Yeah.
There's SOPs on everything. How do we go about finishing? How do we go about building cabinets? How do we go about this?
You have to be able to hold them accountable. And there's, you know, that's something that
it's
was
like
a
the
point
SOP
in my life.
Says this. This is what the SOP states. If you are not in compliance with the standard operating procedure, then you are wrong. Right. But for me, or Ronnie and Cam or Sedge and Mikey, like it's just, it's not really necessary, I don't think.
Yeah. The closest I would say I fall back into my old IT days is when you do a process map of, I didn't like to do it when I was doing like HR IT type stuff or, but actually identifying all the stakeholders on a process and watching the flow go through and like mapping it out and seeing where the redundancy is or where the things that don't make sense. I think that's the kind of thing when they make you do it in corporate world, you're kind of like, oh, this is a waste of time. But when it's for your own business, it's actually kind of interesting. And you're like going, this is a waste of time. Why do I go back here to check on? Why don't they just send this to me and not make, you know, I like to do that. If you do that enough, you think you're in your head that way. So I don't think I ever would really have to put it out, but I try to think that way. Don't just do something that way because you always have. Eliminate a step, eliminate a person in that process. You know, that kind of thing. If you're always doing that, you're improving. So I always try to think about that. But hopefully we can help them out a little bit. But I think the biggest thing about that is if you have employees, documentation like that is more important. Or if you plan on selling your company someday.
Right.
Some people do that when they realize they're going to be selling their company. They kind of start documenting everything.
I would like to also add that some people are just better with writing things out and having things on paper. And that's been made very apparent to me with my wife taking over certain tasks of the business. One of those tasks being the podcast. The reason why I've only had to explain to her one time how to edit the podcast, upload the podcast, build the, you know, to do the emails, all that stuff, is because as I was telling her how to do it, she created a continuity file, if you will, kind of like an SOP. And it literally has exactly what I told her step by step. So I showed her one time and she just refers to it. And I'm like, wow, you know, that's really cool. But that's very helpful for her the way she does things, because now she can just refer and she doesn't have to ask questions anymore. You know,
I've got a question that I'm very interested
7 inches.
Now, this is, I think others would be interested in this also. When she writes things like that down, does she always write it in English or does she ever write things in German?
Always in English.
Always in English.
Well, with this stuff in English, yeah. Yeah.
Is there ever a time when she switches back?
No. The only time she's doing German stuff, honestly, at this point, is when she's talking to her family, texting her family, talking to her family on the phone. Everything else, though, here is all in English.
It amazes me because I'm not a bilingual person, but every time I'm around her, I forget that it's not her her first language. Right. I forget. Same. I mean, I just,
same.
It's just really interesting that she's able to, I mean, you would never know. It's awesome.
Yeah. Well, what's crazy is that Nicole is German. She speaks French, speaks English. Obviously, she speaks German. And I am an American that speaks English, and she has to proofread all of my English things and rewrite them so I don't sound like an idiot.
Isn't that funny?
Oh, yeah.
Some case.
I want her to deal with brands for me because she's way better with words than I ever will be.
Yeah. Always. A lot of times I send things to Kelly because I'm just like, but sometimes when you look at things for a while too, they just make sense to you. It's just good for somebody else to see it. But
oh man,
that's awesome.
I'm,
there.
Now I'm writing stuff like, okay, I'll say it. Goals. I have to do a goal thing for work. And you know how I've done it? Put it in what is known as BARD, but now it's called Gemini, Artificial Intelligence. It works great.
Give me goals.
And then I found out my buddy was doing it too. He goes, did you use ChatGPT? I go, no, I use Chat. I use Bard. He goes, oh yeah. He goes, I use ChatGPT, and I went, oh. And I'm not gonna say his position.
That's funny.
But it was awesome.
Write me a goal if I worked for a major tool manufacturer in North America.
It's like, but what's cool about it is you could take some old text from an old goal. And you just put it in there and go, now set this for 2024.
Yeah.
And
give me five variations of this.
Exactly. And you know what? Yeah. Then you pick it apart and use what's good. And it makes me sound better. More corporate.
Right.
Okay.
Man, and one of these days.
But I will tell you, everybody who's listening, everybody is doing it.
Mm-hmm.
One of these days we need to have a discussion on how we're utilizing AI to improve our businesses, because it's becoming a very, very real thing for me.
So me as well. I'll type up what I think is a decent description. Well, you'll see it now if you use TubeBuddy. You'll put your title in or your description title, and it'll be there's a new tab in there called title generator, and it'll give you 10. You say no, redo it. It'll give you 10 more, and then there's also wow. You get a good wow one in there, and I say let's run with that. Or if the video's not doing it, I'll just hit another title generator, and it maybe gives it a boost. But I also the little description that you give as well.
Mm-hmm.
I thought hey, I think I wrote that pretty good. And then all of a sudden I take that and I put it in BARD, or what is now is Gemini. And that's Google's AI. And next thing you know, whoo, that sounds a lot better.
That's awesome.
You know? So that's how I'm utilizing it. And I know so many other people that are as well.
Well, we are over on our time tonight. Hard to believe, right?
We can do it, man.
We can do it.
We have gone
over our time, and patrons,
we're blessed with the gift of gab.
You are all, not just patrons, all of you only get a certain amount of time. Anything over that, then you got to come hang out for beers with the boys or bourbon with the boys, or possibly for the three of us to come babble in your shop. And to do so, you can go to patreon.com/greensuiterspodcast and become a patron and get in on all the fun, because we're building quite the community over there.
Amen.
Amen.
That's for sure. Thanks, all right, guys. Everybody, for listening. We yes. really appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you to all of our new patrons. Mm-hmm. Thank you to everybody else. Thank you for listening to this podcast, a good podcast, also known as The Woodworking Podcast, not Off the Cut, which is a bunch of yahoos that talk about food, available on Apple, Spotify, and all other streaming platforms.
Amen.
So until next time, everybody, thank you so much. We'll see you next time.
See you later.
Bye-bye.
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 Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.